Well, the choir singing in Latin, at least I can do is refer to Shakespeare for a moment here. Thank you for that. It was beautiful. So finish this these sentences for me. To err is human. To forgive is... That's right. We know that phrase. A cynic friend of mine once commented upon hearing that. He said, I really think it's more like this. To err is human. To forgive is darn near impossible. But this morning, I want to look at that darn near impossible thing called forgiveness. And I want to invite you to embrace forgiveness during this Lent. Let's dig deeper into that and see what I mean. Perhaps you remember the photo. I do. It was during my coming of age years, right in the middle of the Vietnam War. It was one of those photos that taught us once again how terrible war can be. Do you remember it? It was a battle going on, a dirt road. And on that dirt road, there was a naked little girl running toward the camera. Crying. Her clothes had been burned off, and she had burns all over her body. That attack that day had been coordinated by a 24-year-old pilot named John Plummer. And it turns out that the day after that photograph was taken, he saw it. And in a book that he wrote much later, he said, seeing that photograph knocked me to my knees. He said, it shook me to the core. And it produced in me such guilt that I vowed that I would never talk about that event ever again. I would bury it. And he said, for me, it became a lonely torment. Well, 24 years after that event, John Plummer was now living in the Washington, D.C. area when he noticed that there was some veterans memorial event occurring. And lo and behold, who would be speaking but the girl that was in that photograph? Turns out that she and her family were able to escape the horrors of the Vietnam conflict. And they had moved to Toronto, where she had undergone 17 surgeries and was now an adult and occasionally speaking for UNESCO, the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. And she was the keynote speaker at this veterans event, and so he decided to go. And that's where his life changed. He was sitting in the audience when she was on stage speaking, and she said this, if I could speak face to face with the pilot, I would tell him, we cannot change history, but we can do good things in the present. John Plummer wrote a note on the program and gave it to one of the ushers and asked if he would deliver it to the girl. And the note said, I'm the pilot. And following the event, the two of them met. And as they walked toward each other, this girl opened her arms and hugged him as he laid his head on her shoulder and cried. And he said, "I'm sorry. I'm so very sorry." And she said to him, "I forgive you." Didn't say, "Oh, that's okay." She said, "I forgive you." John Plummer had a profound need to be forgiven. And apparently, she had a profound need to forgive. And I think it suggests a reality about all of us, that we too have a profound need to be forgiven and a profound need to forgive. And I think in some way, shape, and form, you know that as well as I know it. You feel it as well as I feel it. We need to have the freedom that comes from being forgiven and forgiving people. You know, it's interesting. There's a project at Duke University Medical Center where they have studied the effects of prayer on the health of individuals. And one of the, you know, that particular part of the study basically said, we don't have the faintest idea, but somehow it seems to work. But they've also done some studies on the effects of forgiveness, and they are stunning. What they say in these studies is that if you have the ability or the opportunity to let go of anger, resentment, or bitterness, it reduces your risk of having a major illness. They said forgiveness, about being forgiven, boosts self-esteem. It actually lowers blood pressure. It helps people sleep better. And it clearly reduces anxiety and depression. In short, what they said was that forgiveness plays a key role in emotional, spiritual, and physical health. Well, now that was a study by Duke. Interestingly enough, you know, Jesus knew this 2,000 years before the study. There's numerous places where you look at what Jesus does, and it's clear that in encountering people and helping them to see a new way forward, that he changes their lives and they're for the better. And that's true of this story today that Jan just read for us a few minutes ago. You know, they're talking about forgiveness, and Peter's trying to figure things out, and he's trying to figure out forgiveness based on an accounting principle. You know, how many times do I have to forgive? And Jesus, tells him 70 times 7. Now, those of you who didn't have to use a calculator know that that's 490 times, okay? But Jesus is not talking about 490 times. This is poetic language. What he's saying is you need not just to forgive, you know, that many times. You need to have an attitude of forgiveness. And what he's suggesting is that attitude is complex. You actually have to be open to being forgiven by God for the worst possible things that you have ever done. Annie Dillard, I don't know whether many of you have ever read her work, but I recommend everything she writes to you. It's just wonderful. Annie had some real struggles early in her life. She was an alcoholic, a drug abuser. She made numerous bad choices in her life. And at one point when she was trying to get her life together, she went to her Episcopal priest and for some counseling, and she sat down and she said to him, "I am so awful. I don't think even God can forgive me." And God bless that priest. He looked at her and said, "Nonsense. God has to forgive you." And she said, "What do you mean?" He says, "That's God's business." This forgiveness thing starts with our being open to God's forgiveness. The worst that you've ever been, the worst that you've ever done is forgivable by God. The fact of the matter is that God does not keep score, even though we do. So we have an opportunity, if we want, to give up the shame that we carry around and which burdens us through life, through Jesus to God. We also understand that forgiveness has something to do then with our willingness to accept forgiveness from other people. I think that my guess is that the reason so many of us fail to ask forgiveness for things we do, have done wrong, is that we're embarrassed by what we've done, and we don't want to have to face it. Embarrassment is one of those tough things in life. And for me to go to one of you and say, "Boy, I really hurt you, and I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was clearly bad," is an embarrassing situation. But that, Jesus tells us, is part of this dynamic of living a forgiving lifestyle. And then the other part of it, of course, is being willing then to forgive someone. Another Methodist minister preached a sermon on this at Lent a couple years ago, and one of the things he said was, he said that, you know, we're talking about embracing things for Lent. He was talking about giving things up for Lent, and he said, the best things that you can do, you can give up for Lent, you know, and his line was, you know, not chocolate or, you know, or whatever else it is, but to give up anger and resentment and bitterness, and to go to someone and forgive them. Because what that does is, I mean, you have no idea how the other person is going to respond, but what it does for you is it frees you up. It frees your spirit up. It may or may not produce reconciliation, but at least it will free your spirit up. So what I want to do this morning is I want to suggest again some Lenten activities for you. If you're carrying around baggage from your past, I want you to consider embracing God's forgiveness. Take it to the Lord and let it go. I know it's not as easy as it sounds, but this is the right time of the year to do that. If someone is carrying a grudge toward you, I want you to consider holding that person in prayer in your heart and then go and seek forgiveness. And if you were carrying a grudge for someone, I want you to consider embracing forgiveness and going and offering that person forgiveness too. There's a story about a ranger at Yellowstone National Park who took a bunch of campers and tourists out to see the grizzly bears. And they set up a setting where the grizzlies would at least come close, and they baited it with some food. And the grizzly comes up and starts eating, and everybody's enjoying watching. And one of the things the ranger says is, "Now, no animal will ever disturb the grizzly while he's eating." He says, "Every animal, human or otherwise, is in danger when a grizzly is eating. It was at that very moment when a skunk walked out of the underbrush and walked over to where the grizzly was eating and began to also eat. Chowed down and went on its way. And one of the tourists eventually said, "Now you told us that every animal was in danger." And he says, "And yet here's this skunk that went right through the middle of the meal, and the grizzly paid no attention." And he says, "Yeah." He says, "There are some exceptions." He says, "In this case, what the grizzly has learned is that it doesn't pay to fight with a skunk." This is the good news of Jesus Christ. It doesn't pay to carry around all the baggage we spend so much time carrying around. And God's willing to forgive you for any and all of it. And then he asks that you forgive others and pass the forgiveness on. Something to consider, embracing forgiveness during Lent. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, help us to recognize that it just doesn't pay to be burdened by all this stuff that we carry around. Help us to let it go. Help us to give it to you, and then to turn around and help others to feel the warmth of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.